this morning, God willing, we'll finish the Masech Lor, or come up close to the end, and next Shabbos morning, that's when we're going to make the Siyum, so we'll do the proper finishing off then. But let's just jump right into Perek Chav Dalet, chapter 24, Mishnah Dalet over here. So, Mechadchen es hadluin lifnei abahema. So, is a person allowed to take raw squash, a gourd of sorts? Can they cut that up on Shabbos? And the reason why you would not be able to do that on Shabbos, in theory, is because a gourd is typically only eaten by people and not by an animal, and typically human beings do not eat it raw, they have to eat it cooked. So let's say I have a raw gourd, am I allowed to, forget about cutting, can I even touch it on Shabbos because it's muksa? So I am allowed, according to the Mishnah over here, to cut up gourds on Shabbos for an animal to eat. And so the chiddush is that even though a human never eats it, and even though an animal normally does not eat it, if I want to feed an animal some sort of a squash, I can do that, I can touch it, and I could cut it on Shabbos, that would be permissible. That's an avela lifnei haklavim. And when it comes to an avela, an animal that died specifically on Shabbos, some sort of a disease or whatever it is, so that a human being obviously can never eat it, but a Jewish person can never eat it, but a dog would be allowed to eat it. So I'm allowed to take a nevela, the carcass of an animal that died on Shabbos. I can cut it up and feed it to the animal. However, Rabbi Yehuda does not have the same viewpoint. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im lo haisa nevela me'erev Shabbos asur. If the animal did not die from before Shabbos started, then it would be prohibited for me to then take the animal carcass that died on Shabbos and cut it up. And the reason why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is because it was simply not prepared from before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, in theory, if the animal would have died, then I could have then taken it and prepared it for the dog to eat. However, since the animal died on Shabbos itself, it's considered that it was not mucha, and it was not prepared from before Shabbos, because he didn't know. If it didn't die from before Shabbos started, then once Shabbos started, it's not. I have no idea if it's actually going to die in this 24-hour period, and therefore, once it died on Shabbos, it was considered not prepared before Shabbos. So Rabbi Yehuda says, then I have no right to cut this up on Shabbos. That's just not how it works. It needs to be prepared from before Shabbos, because it's not considered prepared. And seemingly, Rabbi Yehuda would agree as well when it comes to a gourd on Shabbos, some sort of a squash. If I want to feed it to an animal, maybe he would say that if I prepared it from before Shabbos, if I said, I know I'm going to feed this gourd to an animal on Shabbos, then maybe you would be able to cut it up on Shabbos. Seemingly, since you never would have naturally prepared it before Shabbos for this animal, then it would be considered muksa on Shabbos, and therefore you would not be allowed to feed it to the animal. Mishnah Hey, the last Mishnah of the Masechta. Mefirin Nidar Mashabbos. A person, we are allowed to annul vows on Shabbos, and when it specifically says annulling, it means that a man is allowed to annul a vow for his wife, and a father is allowed to annul a vow for their daughter. And the reason why is because it's quite simple that the only time that a man is allowed to annul a vow for their wife or their daughter is specifically when that's the date that they found out about the vow. That day. So if a person found out that their daughter or wife made a vow on Tuesday, that's the only day that they could annul it. When it comes to Shabbos, so let's say a person finds out that their wife or daughter made a vow that they want to annul on Shabbos, so it's not fair. So if they can't annul it on Shabbos, then they can't annul it any day after Shabbos, if that's the day they found out. So what are you going to do? So therefore, you are allowed to annul vows on Shabbos in this situation. And when it comes to a vow that, let's say, I personally made on Shabbos that I want to get out of, so I'm allowed to request to be released from this vow on Shabbos as long as it is specific necessary for Shabbos. So in other words, let's say I made a vow that I will not eat Shabbos food. So that's not a good thing to do on Shabbos or to have done for Shabbos. So on Shabbos itself, I'm allowed to ask for a release from that vow. And then the Mishnah makes a ruling over here. Of something, if you might remember from way back when in Perek Yedzayin, chapter 17, Pokekin Esama, or a person is allowed to temporarily pick up a board of sorts and sort of block off the window on Shabbos. There was a machlokas between, I believe, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, and the mission over here is postulating like the Chachamim that we can take a board to block up a window on Shabbos, even though, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it looked like some sort of building. The Chum said it was okay, and therefore that's how we rule right over here. Umudidin es hamatlis. A person is allowed to measure a rag on Shabbos. We'll see why in a second. Ves hamikvah. And a person is allowed to measure a mikvah on Shabbos. The reason why is because in both of these situations, it's considered a mitzvah. The reason why I can measure a mikvah is because if I need to be able to use the mikvah on Shabbos, I need to know if it's a kosher mikvah, so I'm allowed to then take up some sort of a measuring tool, and I can measure, seemingly, and I can measure the mikvah on Shabbos. And when it comes to the rag, well, I need to know if the rag is susceptible susceptible to the laws of tumah and tahara, of purity and impurity. And the only time that a cloth would be susceptible to these things is if it's 3 by 3 handbreadths, 3 by 3 tefachim. And therefore, I need to be able to measure that on Shabbos to determine if it could be makabel tumah, if it could either contract impurity, or if it could also spread impurity. And therefore, it would be permissible to measure these things on Shabbos for the sake of the mitzvah. And then the Masechta over here concludes with the story, which we will not read inside, but I'll just briefly explain for just a second outside. It's basically the story that seems to conclude that to teach us these final laws. And the laws are that we are allowed to shutter a window. You in theory are allowed to shutter a window at Shabbos. You can put a board in front of it. You're allowed to measure something for a mitzvah on Shabbos. And one other halacha that we'll see God willing next Shabbos, but that's how the Masechta concludes with the story. The compilers of the Mishnah always kind of thought it was nice to end the Masechta on a nice note, so that's why the Masechta does conclude with a story instead of just a quote-unquote boring halacha. It has a nice little story at the end as well, so God willing, we'll learn that inside next Shabbos morning. But with that brings us to the end over here of Masechta Shabbos, and God willing, next time we will continue with the next Masechta.